Greetings, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Wandering One podcast, brought to you by Wandering One Studios and yours truly, your host, Link Flores. It is a very, very sunny and hot day early in the spring season here, March 11th, 2026. How are you? Thank you all so very much for coming to listen to the Palmcast. I appreciate you. Thank you for sharing, subscribing, rating, reviewing, supporting over on Patreon at patreon.com/wanderingonestudios. And thank you for supporting me over on Blue Sky, which links are in the description, as well as my Twitch channel, twitch.tv/linkib. I'm back. I'm back to streaming again on a regular basis. So rejoice, clap your hands, stomp your feet. We're going to go and see if there's some games that we can beat. I forgot how much I truly and genuinely miss streaming. It's been fun to like just play games just for fun. And I get, you know, I mean, obviously I've been a gamer for a long time. And I understand that, you know, you got to take some time to enjoy your hobbies and the things that you do. I just don't give myself that much permission. And I think I have a lot of fun doing the stream in particular. But it was good to just sit and play games every now and again, just for the hell of it, you know, and I'm trying to encourage myself to do that more on top of the other projects that I'm working on. And we'll get to that in just a minute. But yeah, it's been a wild week, as I'm sure you're all aware. The world keeps spinning. I don't know how. it seems like at any moment it's just going to just veer off its course and just careen directly into the sun or out into the further reaches of the galaxy sometimes, you know? I don't get it. I don't understand what's going on with our world. But I guess maybe I'm not meant to know. You know what I mean? Some things they're above your pay grade, right? I think that the further workings of the universe are well above mine. But I do know that sometimes there's like a Venn diagram of the things you love, the things you hate, and things you're like, oh, okay, I see where this is going. And they overlap a little bit. And you're like, right here in the middle, there's a part where I'm like, I'm confused as to how I feel about this. Like, part of me wants to scream, part of me wants to cheer, and all of me is totally in agreement that we don't know which way to pull. and we're gonna dig into it, man. We're gonna dig into it. But first, I hope you guys are having a great one, no matter where you are, what you're doing. And if you're not, I hope it gets better for you. And thank you for taking some time to hang out with your boy. I was just talking about like projects I'm working on, and you guys may know that I was debating whether or not to pick up Clip Studio Paint's version 4.0 update, and I finally did. I am enjoying it quite a bit. The new user interface, actually, I find to be a lot more agreeable. Overall, for the front end, the inside the app or the program. I mean, are there some things that I would probably want to streamline? Sure. And I know that if I play a little bit more with hotkeys, I can get there, and I will. But it is still kind of a little overwhelming at times. That said, I have been enjoying the things that I've been able to do with the newer version and the newer tools that are available. It's still a learning process. I'm still struggling. Drawing with the stylus is still very hit or miss for me, I think, to a certain degree. I think part of that is, one, you know, not having been familiarized with it for so long, where a lot of my younger contemporaries have had access to this technology in a much more readily accessible form than was available when I was their age. And I'm not going to lie, I'm a little envious of that access and ability. But I find that I'm actually enjoying the challenge of learning how to adapt my own personal drawing techniques and style to a digital medium. That said, I want to say the stylus just, as much as I really do like my Wacom tablet and I really do enjoy drawing with it and trying out the new tools, the stylus just does not hit the same as a pen, man. It's just, and I know it's going to sound like old man screaming at clouds, but I mean, just ask anybody. There's something about like the tactile transformation of an idea from just being pure thought to a thing that you see represented on a physical surface, like a paper, like a piece of paper or some vellum or a canvas or even like, you know, crocheting something. you know, sculpting with clay, that tactile connection between your thought and the physical realm, like shaping something yourself, there's something uniquely satisfying that just doesn't quite, to me, translate in the digital space. It's still like not quite a one-to-one experience. I'm working on getting better with the stylus. That's also part of it, is that like I'm not as skilled with it as I would want to be. But a very wise friend of mine once told me, don't compare your beginning to someone else's middle. And a lot of these people are further along in their artistic journey when it comes to using these techniques and these tools. And so I have to keep reminding myself that I haven't failed. I just haven't figured it out, you know? And so that's giving myself a little bit of grace and trying to learn how to utilize this tool set that honestly I let intimidate me out of even trying. And now that I find that I'm putting myself in front of this thing at least a couple hours every week, as opposed to maybe once every month or so, I'm finding, one, more desire to go and try a new thing. Two, fresher ideas are coming up. I see something, I'm like, I could probably do that. Like if I go to my tablet, I could try that, you know? And then three, like I'm like learning that there are workarounds that maybe other people haven't thought of, or maybe they have, but they're news to me and it makes you feel a little bit more empowered. There's something fun about discovering a new technique or a new tactic, or, you know, even just a new brush tool or a new paint brush tool or a new pen tool in the store or in the app itself, the program itself. And I'm like, I never would have thought to use that, but if I use that, I get this result out of it. So let's try this again. And it's been fun. You know, like I said, a lot of my stuff is still kind of rudimentary. Now, if I take the time to sit down in front of an easel or whatever and draw it with a pencil and my pencil and an ink pen or whatever, I'm going to get a more polished result because it's a technique and a tool set that I'm familiar with. But I'm also trying not to let that become the thing that I lean on, you know? Because for all my vaunted complaints about AI and how it's being shoehorned into everything, whether it's necessary, helpful, or even appropriate, I guess, is probably another way of looking at it. I do understand that there's certain times when, like, you know, technology has and does make our lives easier. So one of the things I'm thinking about working more towards is doing more pencil and ink artwork, or at least more pencil work, and then scanning my pencil work in and digitally coloring and inking certain things, particularly so I can save my pencils for later. Should I decide I want to update something, change it, maybe there's a style that I want to experiment with or whatever. And if I ink over those original pencil works, I may lose some of what allows me, like some of that freedom that I'd have otherwise when it comes to doing inks and colors. So yeah, just another little update. We're learning. It's fun. It's frustrating at times. I definitely need more practice and more time with it, but I am working on it. I think like a couple of notes I made just so I could remember key points I want to hit on the podcast. Like four of them are about Clip Studio Paint, because I was looking at what I'm doing and I didn't realize I reiterated that point over and over again. I'm getting frustrated because I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm going to get there, you know? So let's say they say you can't teach an old dog new tricks. Try it sometimes. This old dog's learning a few new ones. So don't give up, man. Like it's tough out there sometimes. And, you know, you can get discouraged pretty easily because life can be discouraging at times. But where there's life, there's hope. You know, where there's time, there's also opportunity. So take a little bit of time. Doesn't have to be a lot. You know, take like an hour a week. Let's say just start off with like an hour a week to just do something that you enjoy doing, but you're maybe not super skillful at. I actually heard this by comedian Bill Burr on his podcast from this, I think it was like two weeks ago or so, where he mentioned that a guy he was talking to said, you know, hey man, you must have put your 10,000 hours in because you're like masterful at comedy. And he went off this weird aside that it didn't quite add up. So I actually emailed him about the math on it, which I know, right? Coming from me, like I'm no Rhodes Scholar or anything like that. But I'm like, that math ain't mathing up, dog. It's like, it's just that you got confused when you're making your point, but like his, everything else is on point. But yeah, it's like 10,000 hours to attain mastery at a subject is the common maxim, right? And I, you know, after the years and years and years that I've been drawing, I'm pretty sure I put in at least 10,000 hours in drawing. I wouldn't consider myself a master either. I'm a lot better than a lot of people. I'm definitely nowhere near as good as a whole lot more. But I'm working on it, you know? And I would just like to encourage you guys to do the same, you know? I know I'm saying, you know, and I'm just kind of stammering a little bit because my thoughts are a little all over the place this morning. I had breakfast. I had two bowls of cereal today, which we're going to see how good of an idea that was in about an hour and a half. Like, even when you find, like, if you have, you know, stomach issues or lactose intolerance issues or whatever, even when you find, like, low lactose this or zero lactose that or this supplement or, you know, superfood helps you digest, you can still have a bad day. So just knocking on wood that we don't have that issue today. Otherwise, other than that, I'm feeling pretty good. How are you? I think I've asked that already. How are you doing? Did you guys eat breakfast? Do you eat breakfast? That's a good question. I'd like to hear some more emails. I actually have an email that I got through Patreon. So I'll read that in a little bit. But yeah, that'd be a fun email thing. Like, do you eat breakfast? And if so, what's your favorite go-to breakfast? I don't eat breakfast as often as I should. And I'm trying to change that up because for the last few years, I haven't. And I used to be a big proponent of, man, get up, you know, get up, shower, put your clothes on, you know, eat some breakfast, brush teeth. It's weird if you brush your teeth, then eat your breakfast, especially if you have orange juice or eggs. That's a really weird flavor to have in your mouth. It's mint and eggs. Doesn't necessarily go so well together, I've learned over the years. And also toothpaste and orange juice. Blech. Might as well just go back to sleep and try again tomorrow. But yeah, what's your favorite go-to breakfast if you eat breakfast? I know a lot of people don't eat breakfast. They'll just have like a coffee or something like that, or you know, whatever they, you know, usually a beverage, and then they take off and run. And they grab something in the middle of the day and they're tired by like fucking 2 o'clock. And I noticed that since I started going back to eating at least a little something in the morning, even if it's not a full breakfast, you know, it's just, I've said it for years and I just ignored it for a long time. But it really is like the start of your day. You're breaking the fast of being asleep. So from like the night before until the next morning, your body's been stitching itself back together, digesting what you had over the course of the last, you know, 12, 16 hours. And it's like you wake up and the next day, it's like, all right, we need something to get us going. It's like, you know, throwing a couple of logs on a fire that's just cinders, you know, overnight, you know, if you're a camper or anything like that, or if you've ever worked with like a wood stove and you had it burning overnight and then you go like, oh man, it's starting to get cold. You throw a couple of logs on the fire in the morning and boom, gets that bad boy going. That's what your breakfast is. It's fuel for your body. Gets your engine going. So I'm trying to remind myself, at the very least, even if you just grab like an apple and some yogurt, or last night I had some yogurt and granola. I've forgotten how good that shit was. But yeah, eat something in the morning. Get your body's fuel moving. You know, your body's furnace moving, I mean. Get some fuel in there. And it can help. Like, I'm starting to feel like just a little bit of energy from the food that I've eaten just this morning coming up. And I'm like, all right, we're gonna make it. We're gonna be okay. It is pretty slick. You know? So I'm like, yeah, I would recommend get a breakfast. It doesn't have to be big. Grab yourself an apple. Like I said, maybe like a little bit, like a, you know, just like a little tumbler cup. 8 ounce cup of like granola and yogurt. A couple of blueberry muffins and a banana. Just something. Get something into your body. You know, Quaker oat grits and, you know, a Jimmy Dean's microwave sausage is better than nothing, you know. If you can do it, do it. You know what I mean? And if you can't, wake up a little bit earlier and do it. I'm noticing it's saving my life, and it's also keeping me from being super hungry late at night. Like last night, I was like, I ate one meal the whole day, and I'm like, I just need to eat a little snack. But then I was like, I don't want something super heavy. Cup of granola and yogurt, man. I got a little bowl of granola and yogurt. Ate that, passed right out. Was just ready to go sleeps. But I felt great this morning, so that's a plus. I will tell you what doesn't feel great was the other night I was watching movies. We were actually watching this brilliant YouTube series, which I'm going to mention, we're going to talk about in just a second. We're watching this brilliant YouTube, we'll talk about it right now, actually. It's called The Blacktop, it's from a channel called The Blacktop Collective and a couple other folks that are a part of this YouTube channel. We're on this thing, and it's Hood Dudes Play Baldur's Gate 3. I'm going to link the the first video in the description so you can watch it yourselves. I was in tears this whole time. They were just absolutely hilarious guys. having a good old time. Turns out that they're all cousins, which is really cool. To have that kind of connection with your cousins is something I don't experience. I don't even know where most of my cousins live, to be quite honest with you. Our family's just a little scattered at the moment. But I would love to have had that kind of connection with my cousins. I could do something like this. And basically what it is, exactly what the guy says. The premise is, I got a bunch of hood-ass cousins. They don't play like, you know, Dungeons and Dragons or anything along those lines, like art role-playing games, those kinds of video games or those kinds of tabletop games. So he took them into the game Baldur's Gate 3 and was like, I'm going to teach y'all how to play this game. Then I'm going to kind of like guide you and then fire and forget y'all into the universe of the game. And it's an absolute treat. It's a mess at times, but it's hilarious. But that night when I was watching with my homies, I'm like, you know what? I'm having a good old time. I'm going to bust up in a couple of ciders and just check this joint out. And I managed to make that. Before I got into it, I managed to take down the YouTube channel for these cats. So like I said, it'll be in the description. Then I knocked down a couple of drinks, chilling, laughing. And I went to sleep and woke up. And I was like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. I'm hungover. I'm gonna go back a little bit in time and give you a little bit of inside baseball. Up to that point, I hadn't had an alcoholic beverage in almost a week. And I think my body did a quick reset and was like, eh. So when I woke up the next morning, I'm like, oh. It wasn't that bad hangover where you're still sick or whatever, but it was just like your energy is gone. Your body's kind of like, not even really sore, but just kind of like unresponsive and stiff. You're just like, ugh. Your head's in a fog. I'm like, fuck this, man. Ugh. And for me, like when I was really just really doing it up, in my younger days especially, you know, you're in like your early mid-20s and you figure you're bulletproof and you just go out and you get hammered and you wake up the next night, you go to work half drunk or whatever, you're hungover. Oh, God, it could be the worst. And like, you know, everybody says, you know, get a good greasy breakfast. That's a great way to help break up and soak up the alcohol in your system. Because your liver is basically trying to push all that poison out. So it pushes all the alcohol out with it. Same thing for your stomach. Like if you got to Ralph that shit up, that's one thing. One thing I used to do a lot was I'd either keep Pedialyte or Gatorade on hand. Like if I knew I was going to have like a blowout weekend with the homies, there'd be like a couple bottles of Pedialyte or like a couple of those six-pack, you know, Gatorade rain grenades in there. And then I ran out one day. I just forgot. And I'm like, well, Gatorade ain't nothing really but just Kool-Aid with a little salt in it. So instead of buying Gatorade, what I would do is just take like, you know, your Brita water or whatever and just add like, for like, I think like a pint glass, I would add, it was like half a teaspoon of salt and like, maybe like a half a teaspoon to like 3/4 of a teaspoon of sugar. And then maybe splash in some lime or lemon juice and just stir it up and drink that. And it does pretty much the same thing as a Gatorade or a Pedialyte. It doesn't taste quite as sugary because there's not as much sugar. But it gets you moving. You know, kind of rehydrates you. You get a little bit of sugar to give you a little bit of boost of energy to get up over the top. But then, you know, you got the rest of it, it's up to you. So that's why I said breakfast is super important. And also hydration, you know. I got a big old jug of water that I try to drink at least 2 or 3 of a day. And I've gotten better about it over the years. Just drinking water in general. But now that I have this big old jug, I try to fill this thing up at least 2 or 3 times a day and finish that bad boy out. But first thing in the morning, also, it's another good one. Just grab some water. If you're hungover or whatever, there's a hangover tips and tricks, I guess, is one, don't drink that much. Definitely. But two, if you are drinking and you're out, you blow it out a little bit more. One of the best things you can do is put like for every drink you have, drink at least an 8-ounce glass of water. One, it'll help fill your stomach up so you won't want to drink as much. And then two, if you do get a little buzz, you'll be like, I'm too full to drink anything else. So I'm going to go ahead and call it a night. And then three, if you do overindulge and you wake up the next morning, you need to rehydrate. So getting that water in your system first thing in the morning is a brilliant way to kind of get your body up and moving. I recommend that for anybody, though. No matter what you do, just drink a glass of water first thing in the morning before you even, you know, start your day, really. You know, grab a glass of water, get a shower, brush teeth, throw your clothes on, get that water in your system first. I mean, you jump in that shower, you're going to feel good. But you guys have any other hangover tips or tricks that you use? Some like tried and true methods that have saved your life every now and again? I know one dude who used to actually, like, when he was hungover, and we all smoked at the time, Newport 100s.
Cool.
Man. Talk about a rough-ass cigarette. But, yeah, he used to smoke first thing in the morning. Like, he would wake up and just... And I'm like, oh! Oh! One day we had a party at his crib, and we were all faded, so we all passed out on the couches and junk. Man, when I tell you, watching him wake up, not even put his feet on the floor, be in bed and light a cigarette in bed was unbelievable to me. First of all, I think I maybe smoked in bed. I could count on one hand. Like, usually it was, you know, in my dirtbag days, you know, you're living in a fucking single apartment or a studio apartment. You ain't got nowhere else to go. You know what I mean? You're just like, I'm going to what? Go and sit on my fucking, you know, little rocking chair and smoke. I'm right here, right next to the bed. You know, it's a 400 square foot apartment. It's basically a closet. Might as well just smoke right here where I'm sitting. I've done that before. You know, you have one of those famous one night stands where you're just lying in bed. You wake up in the morning like, what the fuck was I thinking? You have a cigarette before you jump in the shower and run out the front door. Yeah, just the scumbag days. The scumbaggery was real. And I think after that, like, I maybe, after I got over that kind of shit into my, like, mid-20s, early 30s, I think I maybe smoked in a bed or my bed twice in the past 20 years. You know what I mean? Like, just, there was something about it, just like, this shit is not cool at all. First of all, the bed smells like fucking cigarette smoke, which is not very comforting to sleep in. And God forbid you drop an ash or something like that, or even like the cherry of the cigarette falls off. Now you caught your sheets on fire. And then if none of that happens, you know, maybe you roll over in the middle of the night, or you flick the covers off and the ashtray's too close. Now you've knocked cigarette ash all over your floor, all over your nightstand, all over your bed, all over your partner. If you're in the bed with somebody, it's just not a good scene. So, yeah. God. But he used to swear by smoking a cigarette first thing in the morning after a night of drinking. It would get him right. I'm like, what does it have, fucking meth in it? Because there's no way. Like, I can't see a universe where that actually helps you. But go off, son. Like, do your thing, man. Just absolute banana balls behavior. Just, and I mean, of all the crazy stuff we're seeing lately, like, that is one thing I think back to and I go like, yeah, that was crazy. He just did that. I think it was also crazy that I just did that too. I'm like, I'm not judging just him. Like, I was a dirtbag as well. But I mean, just smoking in bed was one thing, but like first thing in the morning, I don't know, man. That was rough, even for me. You know, it was actually, you know, I just think about this too. I don't know if I mentioned this. Did I? Shoot. I'm trying to remember if I said this last week. I'm pretty sure I did talk about how I accidentally bought Mario plus Rabbids Sparks of Hope's DLC instead of the actual game. I haven't checked yet, but according to legend, Nintendo's refunded my money for that purchase, which is wild because apparently they don't do that. Like, they're like, if you buy anything from us, that's just your ass. Like, especially if it's digital, they're like, nah. I'm like, I bought a DLC for the game, but I didn't buy the game. Now, if I had the money, I would have bought the game because the game actually came with the DLC. It was weird. Why would I buy one? The most useless, I mean, the thing I need the most, I didn't buy. And the thing I needed, you know, that I wanted to add to the thing I needed, I couldn't even use no matter what. So they're like, yeah, all right, we'll give you the money back. I'm like, oh, good, thank God. I might have to go back and pick that game up because it does look pretty sweet. But again, I wasn't paying attention, and I screwed myself over on that one. But at least Nintendo was cool about it, you know what I mean? And Nintendo has a lot of reasons. They don't have a lot of reasons to not be chill, but they got a lot of reasons to not be chill this week. We're going to get into it because, you know, gaming stuff is always fun for me anyway. But it's also wrapped up in real world shit, so walk with me here. I know some of you might not be gamers, but trust me, there's a through line on this stuff. So yesterday was Mario Day, March the 10th. And the Nintendo incident, like I said, was just that. The refund is pending, so I think probably by this time, by the time this reaches your ears, or at least by the weekend, the refund should be fully processed and I pick up, you know, Mario plus Rabbids Spark of Hope. So good on Nintendo for helping the dude out. I'd be way more careful in the future purchasing anything from the eShop. That's why I like to buy physical games, though. You know what I mean? Even if I buy it secondhand, at least I have the real thing, you know? And if I buy it secondhand, especially if I go like a, you know, a local game shop or something like that, I'm like, hey, man, this joint don't work. You gotta give my money back. You know, I could talk to somebody face to face. I really am over the idea of not being able to talk to a human being or interact with human beings. Because people are like, well, I have social anxiety. You know, it's way more anxiety inducing not being able to get assistance for your fucking problems when you need it. You think it's difficult to talk to somebody in person and have an awkward and uncomfortable conversation? Imagine being able to get nowhere with anyone and getting no redress for your issue. It's kind of like the issue that happened when I accidentally purchased Clip Studio Pro on a concocted account that I made without thinking about it. I was just like, oh, I'm making an account. I thought it was just for, you know, for like reference purposes or whatever. They're like, no, this is a brand new account for this software. So you're not using the account that you already have. You've made a brand new one. And now we can't merge the accounts. We can't swap the license over. None of this shit. Even though I had all the relevant information, I'm like, you know what? Fuck it. I'll just turn this new account into my old account and I'll just delete the old account. But I had to figure that shit out on my own. You know what I mean? Like, they didn't offer a solution. They were just like automated tech support response messages. We cannot help you at this time. Please go to our website to do this on your own. Blah, 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 blah. I'm like, well, the fuck are you? Why do we get these AI assistants? You're saving money for what? So people just get frustrated? I would have just processed a refund at that point if I couldn't figure it out and called it a fucking day. You know, like, I'm not going to upgrade to a product where I can't get any service or any help or anything like that. I fortunately figured out how to do it on my own, but that was only after reading their... I had like a half a dozen emails from them before I was like, you know what? I figured out how I'm going to do this. Never mind. I'll just deal with this shit on my own. But it's crazy that there's so much of a disconnect between like the customer and the company. Like, they don't want to be bothered with us unless they're getting money. And people are like, well, gee, what a revelation. But no, think about that. There used to be a little bit of, at least a small amount of corporate accountability to the consumer. And it's gone away in recent years and recent decades. But there used to be a thing where like, hey man, if you did something and it messed up so-and-so's, you know, life, car, money, whatever, they could walk up on you and be like, hey man, what's your fucking problem? Fix this. And they'd have to be like, ah, sir, I'll make it right with you. Yeah, damn right you're going to make it right. You know, but we've gotten away from that lately. But it's weird that corporations, for some reason, seem to have more rights than people. And the way that they exercise those rights is getting to be quite a flex. I mean, we'll talk about the AI thing. I actually tried to get an appointment for getting the car's oil changed. And I keep getting this text from Autumn, right? From the dealership. This is Autumn. I have sent you a text message recently. I have sent you a text message. Okay. Would you care to like to schedule a servicing for your car? No. I think someone needs to service the AI bot named Autumn who keeps sending me text messages every week. Fuck off. So I tried to call them and their thing was, your call is being fielded by an automated AI-powered service provider. I'm like, are you fucking serious? You're letting the robots answer the phones? When I need to schedule an appointment, I can't do it. If you want to schedule an appointment online through your phone, you can do it by pressing this button. Or you can go to our website. They're basically telling you, give us your money and fuck off. We don't want to deal with you. I'm like, all right, well, you know what? It might be one of them things where you're just like, hey, man, look, I get this shit serviced by somebody else. Anybody else is going to answer my calls. They're like, why haven't you come back? Because nobody answers the fucking phone. I called 3 times. They hung up on me 3 times. The first time it said, we are experiencing a high volume of calls. Feel free to leave a message. And it goes click, not beep, to like signal like, yo, you can record your message here. It just shut off and hung up. I'm like, what? I called back and the number just didn't even connect. It didn't even connect. It just said the AI thing and then shut off. And the third time it took me all the way up to the actual, like, you know, service center's phone bank, where if you want to schedule service, press this. If you want to check the status of your service, press this. So I got out to that, all the way to that, and I was like, I want to schedule service. It says, thank you for calling us. Goodbye. I guess you don't want my money then. How about that? I mean, that's great. That's super cool. Anyway, I kind of got off on a tangent there. What I was talking about was Nintendo and how Nintendo is famous for being highly litigious about a lot of things. One of the fun ones this week is there's a game that's being released now called Pikmon. And if it sounds remotely familiar, that's because you've heard of Pokemon, a game that is a game and a franchise that is owned by Nintendo. And the Pokemon company and the people who, you know, in Nintendo in general are very, very, very persnickety about anything that remotely touches Pokemon, right? So a while back, there's this game that came out called Pal World. And what they were notoriously accused of was using an AI generated, again, here we go with AI, an AI character generator to feed Pokemon designs into, to recombine and come up with a bunch of new monster characters that Pal World would then inject into their game world and use, you know, those generated models, AI generated models, as their avatars for the game. And it was a little bit of Pokemon meets a little bit of, you know, a Risk, or not Risk, what's the one I'm thinking of? Ark. Not Ark Raiders, Ark, A-R-K. Those survival games where they drop you on an island, you have to farm resources and build shelter and, you know, craft stuff to survive and that kind of thing, right? So it's like all that stuff kind of thrown together. You have animals that, you know, you can use to basically as slave labor to do work on your farm. You can also use them as combatants. Like, some of these animals have fucking machine guns. Don't ask me how. I have no idea. And even though I played some of the game, it never made sense to me. But almost everything about this game screamed direct Pokemon ripoff. Right down to the idea of throwing a sphere, as they call them, at the animal that you are trying to capture. And then it goes through a little cycling animation as it attempts to capture the animal. And then you either captured them or you didn't. You had to try again. And even, you know, if you didn't, you know, knock them out or whatever, and you had to wear them down to a certain degree, then you try to capture them. And if they were weak enough, you could capture them sometimes. And they would, you know, most of the time, and then they would just be in your inventory. Sometimes they would break loose and you'd have to kill them. Like, and then you actually had a gun. Like, it was not just like, you know, Pikachu, I choose you, use Thunder Wave. Nope, it was like, hey, you fire dude, throw a fireball at him. And it would throw a fireball at this monster and it would just evaporate it. You're like, oh, shit, I'm going to just knock him out, not kill him. And then if that didn't work, you're like, hey, you did that. It didn't work on this guy. Never mind. I used the power of AK-47 and you just kill the monsters. Like, yo, this is wild. Anyway, all I'd say, Pal World was almost a direct ripoff of Pokemon with a couple of other ideas thrown on top of it. And Pokemon Company was like, nah, son, we're suing you. Now, from what I remember, and it's been a while, Pal World and Nintendo kind of like came to an agreement, not necessarily a settlement, but they were like, you know, kind of like a cease and desist. And Pal World was like, all right, we tried. We took a swing and a miss. We tried. Right? Fast forward to just last night, when I see an advertisement on, I think it might have been Game Trailers, for a new game called Pikmon. This thing looks almost exactly like Pal World, but just with like more cityscape locations, smoother graphics, and like some slight variations on the monster themes that Pal World was accused of stealing from Pokemon. It's almost identical. I'm putting a trailer for that into the description as well, so you can see that. But when I tell you, if you put those two together and look at them, like, you're gonna be like, what am I seeing? How are they getting away with this again? Surprise, they're probably not. Pokemon hasn't had a chance to sue them yet. But once they see this, they're gonna be coming for them. I can almost guarantee it. Yeah, that, I mean, the look for this Pikmon game is so ridiculously identical. I kind of wonder if it isn't the same people who made Pal World, if they didn't just buy off Pal World's code and say, let us give it a shot. You know what I mean? Like, we'll buy your code. We'll give you a cut back on everything we sell or whatever, but like, give us a shot and let's see if we can do what you were doing, but, you know, outwit Nintendo's lawyers by making it different enough, but still similar enough that we can get, you know, we can get this bread. And I'm not gonna lie. I think it's kind of good. I think it might work for him. As crazy as it is, I think it might actually work. I'd be curious to see how it goes down. I don't know that I want to mess with it, but I am curious to see what happens. But Nintendo's not gonna let that one slide. And you know, I know is because I think like the internet's kind of getting sick of, well, everybody's sick of Trump and the Trump administration in general. But the Trump administration actually took some of the design language from the upcoming Pokopia game for the Nintendo Switch 2. And one of their, I mean, we're going to say that their creative social media team, but that's a joke, used the text language in particular, the text style and everything, and made a meme that said, "Make America Great Again," layered over imagery pulled directly from the Pokotopia game. But the internet just went wild with it. Some of the memes that were coming off of it were like, release the Epstein files, obviously, that kind of thing. I think it was like, make racists afraid again or something like that. It was crazy. But yeah, the internet just got a hold of it and started dragging the whitehouse.gov Twitter account by flooding it with memes based in that same visual style. And I'm pretty sure the Pokemon company is probably having at least a little bit of a laugh at people going like, hey, yeah, get them. But, you know, I mean, they're notorious for taking video game stuff and using it, weaponizing it against not only people, you know, like the populace or whatever, but against other nations. And then for their own profit, for their own benefit. Some of you may remember this a while back. There was actually a post from the White House Twitter account where they was it from White House? It was either White House or it was Homeland Security, where they took an image directly ripped from Halo Combat Evolved, showing, like, you know, the Warthog and I think it was a couple of soldiers or Spartans looking at the Halo ring, and they were basically using it as a propaganda material for ICE recruitment. And oddly enough, Microsoft, Xbox, 343, and Bungie were pretty radio silent about it, which was actually quite saddening. They didn't say shit. They just kind of let it go and didn't say anything about it. I'm like, hey man, keep my Master Chief's name out your fucking mouth. They didn't even bother. They didn't even flinch, which tells a lot about, you know, both companies, by the way, if you're not familiar. With at least Microsoft's entanglement with the Trump administration in the form of Bill Gates, which, boy, that's going to be a real shit show when that comes apart, ain't it? But they're playing too much, and they're playing real close. They're playing real close to the edge of where they're going to get sued by a bunch of video game companies. Because now they've also taken another video montage and included, not necessarily footage, but they've included image and I think asset files that mock and mirror Call of Duty, which when they're doing their drone strikes, you see them on the news, it says unclassified, and it shows like a thermal imaging of like a truck or an outpost or a building, and then all of a sudden it explodes. these sick fucks decided to paint over that with a plus 100 kill streak counter slash score marker for what you'd get in Call of Duty when you take a headshot in a video game. But they're doing this over real people, real buildings. You know what I mean? There's one part where they had like the boats that people that Hegseth and his little band of thugs were gunning down in the Caribbean, in the South Atlantic, or the Mid-Atlantic. Yeah, they were doing that over those two. Those are actual human beings that are being murdered right there by our government. And they just put like a little kill streak counter on there. UAV ready. I'm like, are you fucking serious? It's not going to take long before it's going to piss off enough people that, I mean, we've already seen the one hacker whose name escapes me at the moment, but she was dressed like the Pink Power Ranger, went to a convention for hackers and then busted a white nationalist dating site, including people who are not only like white Christian nationalists, but who are avowed like self-professed neo-Nazis. And she hacked all their shit, put all their information out on the internet for everyone to see. And that was hilarious. It won't be long before somebody of that skill set decides to do that to the Trump administration. And at the very least, they're going to get some of the lower level peons and squeeze them and be like, give it up or else this is going out to the universe. And it won't take long before one of them squeals. And when it happens, it's going to be amazing. You're going to want to watch your television set for that to happen. I'm telling you, it's coming. I don't know how, I don't know when, I don't know what it's going to look like, but I got this suspicion. They're not going to let this slide, and it won't be too much longer before you start to see like, oh, that's how y'all want to play now, huh? Okay. And then someone's going to get lit up, and you're going to be like, no. Why are all my news on the internet? Lindsey Graham's going to be Mr. Ladybug again. Anybody forget about Mr. Ladybug, Lindsey Graham? I didn't forget about Mr. Ladybug. If you don't know, look it up. Lindsey Graham, Mr. Ladybug, it's a treat of a different kind. But yeah, man, they're playing way too fast and loose with this kind of shit, man. They're gonna get themselves into more trouble. You already know that, you know, some people are calling it now the Trump Epstein files because of how frequently Donald Trump is mentioned in the Epstein files. We also know, too, like, through some of the Epstein files, unredacted emails, that Jeffrey Epstein was in contact with former CEO of Activision Blizzard, Bobby Kotick, about how to get children into the microtransaction game, and how basically microtransactions were designed to groom children into an economy, and they were basically trying to inure them to the prospect of, you give me this and I'll give you that. It's like if we start getting them when they're young and hit them with the video games, who knows what else we can kind of get out of them. I'm imagining is the track they're going on. But it was pretty gross to know that Jeffrey Epstein's had his hand in microtransactions. So now when I hear stuff about like, oh, I want to buy this skin for this game, I think about Jeffrey Epstein now and I go, ugh. Nah, I'm good. I think I'd rather just earn it or just not have it. You know what I mean? Playing into the idea of microtransactions, especially in Overwatch, you know, which was a big Activision Blizzard game, and I loved it, and I still play it now that it's had some of the most, I think, of the more horrible people at Activision Blizzard scrubbed out of the system. But still, like I've said before, egregious abusers of the microtransaction system, not the least of which is them locking the story missions behind a fucking $40 paywall, kiss my ass. Those shits will stay right there. I'm not doing it. You might get a handful of people, but not the kid. I'm not paying for it. If you see me playing them, know that somebody else bought that shit for me. I did not buy that for myself. But yeah, it's part of the new approach to try to... these are the same kind of people who would mock gamers for being who they are. Now they're trying to use the same language and the same iconography to dig into the gamer space and, you know, the gaming community as a whole. And they believe it's going to work. Now, I will say this for them. Much as I love video gaming, and as much as I love a lot of my gaming friends, the reason I think that it might actually work is because gamers kind of tend to get along, right? like trying to get people to push back on anything that they see as egregious or over the top or, you know, too intrusive as a gaming community doesn't work by and large. You know how I know that? People still have Xbox Game Pass Ultimate. Even though the price went up 100%, they doubled the cost of Xbox Game Pass Ultimate. People are still playing on Ultimate. They'd rather hand over the money for the convenience of the games than stand on business and say, this is wrong. There's no reason for you to be charging me this much extra money every month for this service with a bunch of bullshit I didn't ask for without adding anything value-added stuff that I want. You give me a bunch of options for shit I don't play, for games I don't like, services I don't want or need, Ubisoft Plus, EA's whatever fuck, Play Pass or whatever, the shit for Fortnite, which I get Fortnite's a big game, but why? Did anybody really need this? People who were already doing that were getting it anyway. But that's why I know that like, a general boycott would never work if it was led by gamers. And this kind of stuff, these initiatives won't work either because, like I said, a lot of gamers just roll over and take it. You know, they're like, you tell them, vote with your wallet. They're like, I will, unless I get this really cool skin that I want. Then there's $30 out of my pocket. The fuck, man? They don't learn their lesson if you keep feeding into it. Play the game. I'm not going to tell you not to play the game. You bought the game. You got the game. Play the game. Don't give them any more money. Like, why would you do that? And, you know, you pick and choose your battles, right? But I think, like, for some of this stuff, it's gotten to the point where it's more than just, like, about the video game itself or the economy itself, which is always in peril and currently in a shambles. But just having the integrity to stand on something and be like, I'm willing to suffer a little bit of quote-unquote discomfort or, you know what I mean, or lack of convenience or whatever, to just put draw a line in the sand and be like, I'm enough is enough. There's actually a video, if I can find it, I'll put it in here. There's a video about like how to extricate yourself from a bunch of these companies that seem to have us by the short and curlies. Companies like Amazon, like Uber Eats and shit like that, you know, that we like Uber in general, but like companies that we've come to rely upon to do stuff for us that we haven't done for us, that we haven't or won't do for ourselves anymore. And how you can remove them from your life more effectively. I'm gonna have to look for that video because it looked pretty cool. I didn't get a chance to watch it. It just scrolled through my feed and I lost it. I'm like, I have to research it and find it. But that's one of the things I've been trying to do too, is cutting the cord on a lot of stuff. Amazon, I'll admit, is probably the most difficult for most people because Amazon became so ubiquitous that it's like kind of woven into your lives. Kind of like, you know, when you're on a cell phone platform like Apple, like if you're in the Apple universe, you're kind of cooked. Like you either have to be there or restart your life, essentially, it seems like sometimes. It's a lot easier to get out of Apple than Amazon, but it's not easy by any stretch. But it's definitely easier than just, you know, getting away from Amazon. But I think that's the reason like a general boycott wouldn't work if gamers were leading it in particular. Human beings in general, but like gamers in particular. They just kind of like roll over and take whatever is given to them. That's disappointing and distressing, to say the very least. Because while we notice all these abuses and stuff like that, like this administration is just flat the fuck out lying. And people just don't call them out on this shit. Right? Like, so we saw Captain Annoying Orange go on state-sponsored media and lie about the bombing of a school in Iran, which I'm sure you've all heard about by now. Over 160 people now, it's like the closer to the official toll of dead children and teachers at this school. Which they say, you know, older accounts back, like, you know, I think there's like decades-old account or a decade-old accounting through Google Earth, of all things, by the way. This isn't like, you know, harvested intel. They're like, just Google Earth images show that this once was at least adjacent to some Iranian, I think it's Iranian Revolutionary Guard buildings. And in the interim, in the 10 years between when that original Google Earth photo was taken out and today, there were other photos as recently as 2018 where they had a wall built between the set of the military buildings and this school. The school had the walls repainted this like robin's egg blue that you could see from fucking space. And drawings and paintings that were done and designed by the children who went to the school on the walls. And they still shot the fucking school. So is it an accident? Or did we do it on purpose? Because if we did it on purpose, we're monsters. If it was an accident, we're woefully incompetent. You got all this laser tracking, satellite guidance, you know, you have weapon systems where you can, you know, guide a missile from one location to another, and you still manage to hit a school. You can get it so accurate you can hit a moving vehicle on a highway. And you managed to miss a whole ass brick, a whole ass city block, basically, of buildings, and hit a school that was over a football field away. Seems suspicious to me. Anyway, Fat Man tried to lie his way out of it and say, you know, that it was probably Iran who shot their own Tomahawk missile at the school. Like, Iran probably did it. And then right behind him was Pete Kegsbreath on Air Force One. Secretary Hegseth, do you agree with the president's assessment? He's like, we're investigating right now. Excuse me, we're fine. Shut the fuck up, Donald. I know that they're crazy about this guy. They're crazy over this guy because, like, I was telling my daughter the other day, I'm like, people think he's smart. He's not. He's shown that he's a failed businessman. He's shown he's a failed father. He's shown he's a failed husband. He's shown he's a failed president. Nothing he's done has actually worked out well except for lying and deceiving people. That's the only thing he's really good at, but he's not skillful in any other sense. You know what I mean? He's an opportunistic scam artist and convicted sexual assaulter. I didn't make that shit up. That's something that's on his record. And fraudster. But he's not good at doing things. Except for lying and cheating people. That's the only thing he's good at. He didn't earn this money that he's got by any actual meritorious skill. They're talking about a meritocracy. For, motherfucker, for who? Trump ain't never earned nothing. Most of the people that are in his cabinet ain't earned shit either. So why are we elevating them at all for any reason? It's wild and it's beyond me. But he went and straight out lied, blamed Iran. And then, in a stroke of genius that I've been waiting for 4 months, every fucking week, I tell the wife we're talking. I'm like, I could not be on the White House press corps because there'd be a moment when I'd have to basically call them out for, like, hey man, do you just lie because you're awake? Or do you have like some kind of like mental disorder or something like that? Are you stupid, simple, or slow? Please pick one. Finally, somebody did it. So this cat is named Sean McCreesh, and he calls Trump out in the middle of a press briefing, just bam, right between the fucking eyes. That is actually going in the description, so please check this video out if you haven't seen it. Oh my God, this is fucking poetry and theater wrapped together. I think the truly hilarious thing about that whole interaction between Sean McCreesh and Trump was, after he pins him down and basically says, you said that, you know, Iran got their hands on a Tomahawk missile, but even your own Secretary of Defense, Pete Hegseth, wouldn't back you up when he was standing right behind you. Trump's stupid ass goes, I think it was something I didn't know anything about. What? Bro. Never. See, that's the thing. He's never taken responsibility for anything, but right there, he accidentally did. Without even meaning to, he accidentally took responsibility for it. He's like, I just was talking out of my ass, basically, is what he said. He's like, I think somebody told me something one day, and I just heard it and just ran with it. And I didn't bother to check it or verify. I just start talking. Sometimes I'd be saying stuff. And I'm like, what the fuck? You're the president of the United States, bro. That's borderline mentally damaged behavior. That's the kind of thing you'd expect out of somebody who got kicked in the head by a fucking mule. Not the president of the United States. And dude buried him with that question because he just, you know, other countries have them. Yeah, other countries do have them. The United States makes them. And obviously, you know, munitions get sold. They get smuggled sometimes. Maybe they get stolen. Maybe another country will buy them and then resell them to somebody else. Sure, any of those things could be the case, right? But allegedly, only like 4 countries actually have direct sales from Tomahawk missiles, you know, sales of or purchases of Tomahawk missiles from the United States. It's like the United Kingdom, Japan, who's still in the testing phases of being able to use theirs. I think it's Japan, Germany, and the Netherlands or something like that. I think it's Germany and the Netherlands or something like that. The other two. There's like two of, like, so like, of the 4, maybe, I mean, you, I don't know who any of them would have quick launch or even close enough launch capability to launch that strike successfully on their own. So that means either you admit that, you know, you've got loose-ass Tomahawks just floating around, which is crazy, which means that another Navy, because they're fired from either submarines or from floating platforms, like a, you know, like a warship. And I'm certain there's probably like a way that you could modify the Tomahawk missile or that you could construct a delivery platform that was terrestrial based that would let you launch it from the ground. But generally speaking, these things are like out. They're out and about in the water. But then you have to admit that you let these shits get loose into a hand of a regime that you are actively trying to destroy. And then you flat out just blamed it on them. You didn't even bother to think about, like, wait, where did this thing come from? Do we have the satellite surveillance that we could show? We probably do, but we don't want anybody to see it. Just straight out, just like, they did it. They probably fucked up and bombed the school. Like, they're going to bomb their own schools? Bro, they don't miss like that, bro. They just don't. You know what I mean? Like, with a missile, as much money as missiles cost, it's so stupid to think that, like, a country that would be struggling right now to redevelop its own nuclear enrichment program would just wantonly waste a missile that probably costs in the, you know, hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars, to fire one. That's just to buy one. Fuck the cost of being able to actually, like, get it mobile, get it ready, get the satellite positioning and coordinates all set up, and then be able to actually effectively fire this thing. And they just oopsied. They just oopsied, like, what it could be millions of dollars worth of, you know, weaponry. Just like, oh no. It's like a kid accidentally hitting his dad's windshield with a rock from a slingshot. That's how they did it? Come the fuck on, dude. That just made me laugh. By the way, this Sean McCreesh dude, that was hilarious that he called him straight out. The clip I found is from MS Now, and it's a little lengthier clip where he actually comes on the show and is discussing some of what's been what he said at the, you know, in the briefing and some other points about the war in Iran. But he hit him right between the eyes with that one. It is kind of funny to watch them get got. And also, it's also fun to watch them eat each other. Like, Marco Rubio just got dragged in front of everybody at the White House. I'm like, yo. As the man Reese Waters would say, this is how pick me ends. And it's not even over for Marco Rubio, because he's about to get cooked. Like, they're going to put him somewhere where he's not gonna be able to recover. And they're going to just set him out to pasture like they're about to do Kristi Noem. You know, after she got fired and everything. Now they're making her part of the Shield of the Americas, a brand new thing that some, as Trump says, has to do with drugs mainly.
Really?
Really? You're going to put this crackhead in charge of a drug enforcement operation? Okay.
I mean, maybe it'll work out. I wonder how many opioids you have to be on for her to, like, not feel her face sliding off her skull. Like some tenderness and ribs coming off the bone. Yeah, I mean, just... She probably got to be... Oh, God. She's got to be high as a stratosphere every day. So maybe that's what it is. Who knows? She'll be tooting it up her nose when she gets her next fucking facial reconstruction surgery or whatever. I don't know. But they're going to bury Rubio. So Rubio goes out. He's
at this press junket, kind of, and he's talking, and he's speaking in Spanish, you know, which, you know, good on him. His Spanish is obviously way better than mine. But when he's done speaking, Trump comes up to the podium. He's like, isn't he better in Spanish? I think he's better in Spanish. And then he calls Pete Hegseth up, and Pete Hegseth, without even missing a beat, goes, Mr. President, I assure you, I only speak American. And people start chuckling and laughing at Marco Rubio in his fucking face. And then I think he tries to chirp up at something with Hegseth about something about Cuba or whatever, like trying to fire back. But he's off mic and too far away for you to really hear what he says as a shot back at Pete Hegseth. But he got all the people laughing at the brown guy in the room, right? Oh, my God. Is he one of the Mexicans? They're all Mexican. They all are Mexican to us. He's better in Spanish. Get it? You push the SAP button on his back and he says words. Marco Rubio getting clowned is not on my list of things to cry blue tears about. It is embarrassing as a Latino to watch him just, you know, literally get on his knees in front of these people and then take it in the face over and over and over. How many times do they have to hit these people in the face? You know what I mean? Just seriously, like nut slapping them. Just absolute disrespect. Over and over and over again before you go, enough, man. Get your balls out my face. I don't know what it's going to take. You can ask Lindsey Graham, but I don't think he's getting tired of it yet. Lindsey Graham gets shot down, slapped around, bent over, flipped six ways a Sunday. It don't matter. He gets mad at Trump like they had a little lover spat. They break up and they get back together within like a couple of weeks. So Lindsey Graham don't count. He's a completely different case. Lindsey Graham is definitely a completely different case. But Marco Rubio, I would have thought at some point maybe some of your like Latin pride would pop up and you'd be like, hey man, fuck you, dog. I'll stab you right here with this pin. That's why it couldn't have been me. I had to drop kick Pete Hegseth's big head ass through the podium. Just because man, fuck both of y'all. Talk this shit again. I'm out. Hit a motherfucker with a chair, pick up the mic cord and choke one of them until they pass out and kick them and then just leave. But he ain't got the stones like that. He just let him talk shit about him right to his face. Like, it's fine. I'm still your friend. Right? You love me? I'm little Marco, remember? I'm little Marco. What a disgrace. We're doing it all for affordability, right? This is gonna make America great again, right? God, affordability. Look at the gas prices. Go to your local grocery. Walk, don't drive. You don't want to burn up the little bit of gas you got. Go to your local gas station and see what a gallon of regular gas and a gallon of premium gas is right now. And then see if you can find out what the price was last week. Let me know if things are getting better for you or not. This shit is crazy. I don't know why anybody believes this. He's making America great again. For who, motherfucker? Please explain that shit to me. Please explain that shit to me. I need to know what that is. I don't understand. I really don't. Anyway, that's a lot of yibbity yabbity hibbity hibbity hibbity. But like I said, I'm really curious to see where this one lands, man. Like, I don't know. It seems like, you know, it's just gonna... Are we gonna have to wait for like the, you know, the international community or something like that to be like, hey man, hand him over to us. What's it gonna take? Because if senators and congresspeople violate the Constitution, they're supposed to be removed from office. You don't send them a letter. You know, you don't write them, you know, you don't give them a little, you know, slap on the wrist. They don't get to sit on the bench for 5 minutes. They're supposed to be removed. What do we do with the president, a vice president, a secretary of defense, a secretary of homeland security, speaker of the house? What do we do with these motherfuckers when they violate the Constitution? We just watch them? Seems to be the answer from Congress. We just sit and watch them tear the world apart, right? That's what we do? Great, got it. So glad you're working for our common interests. I just don't know. And I have yet to find anybody who's got a good answer for it. I'd be very curious to hear what your thoughts are. So again, pop over to patreon.com/wanderingonestudios. Hit me up and let me know what you think could be done. Or If you have an actual legal redress for this kind of situation that maybe they're just not exercising right now, and you know more about it than I do, I would love to hear it and read about it. As we part, though, I'm going to talk about something my buddy Payne showed me. It's a game called Double Dungeon. And it is a very cute-looking game. I want to lend in like something very positive. We are also going to come back. Let's go with this. We're going to talk about Double Dungeon. Now, this is a, from what I understand, it's a partner-created game. I believe it's a lady. Yeah, Michelle and her boyfriend Jack have worked on this game for 3 years. It's a cozy claymation-style graphics game with the fantasy-based tactic strategy and dice-rolling mechanics and roguelike features. I'm going to drop the link for this, too, so you could check it out. And for those of you who have Steam or play on PC, if you get a chance to play it, let me know what you think. It's rumored that it may come to Nintendo Switch. I don't know if it's going to be Switch 1 or 2 or both. I'd love to see it on the regular Nintendo Switch, but who knows? I'd love to see the physical edition of it if it comes to Nintendo Switch, though. I'm down for it. I would try to find them and, like, message them and be like, hey, man, can I get a copy of this shit? Or let me know when you're going to release it. I'll play it. I'll buy it. You know what I mean? Like, it looks adorable. Sorry, I had to stand up and stretch for a second there. But more than just looking adorable, it looks like they fleshed out the game's core mechanics really well. The enemy designs and character designs are kind of, they have that, like, this, the best way to put it is, like, it's like a 3D claymation, like a 3D animated claymation style look to everything. But it's very charming, and the designs are great. It has a great sense of style. Looks like the camera actually has like a free roam kind of look to it, so you can kind of move around the battlefield and plan your strategies out a little bit more. I'm very curious to see more of it. Again, I can't play it because I don't play on PC. I don't have a Steam box or whatever the hell they're calling their new console yet. But I would be down to check this out if it ever comes up. If I ever find a demo version of it or something, I'll give it a peek. And we'll see what's what. I don't know, but keep an eye out for this one. I think it's going to be a really impactful, like, indie darling kind of thing. And it's always cool to watch, like, a handful of creative people come up with something that's wonderful, charming, and above and beyond everything, well put together. And that's what this appears to be. So we're going to keep an eye out on that one. And like I said, if you learn anything about it before I do, let me know. Hit me up. You know where to catch me over on Blue Sky. W1studios.bsky.social. There it is. I remembered it. I'm also adding my link tree to the description of the podcast now. It is available and ready to go. And also help clean up some of the links at the bottom so you guys don't have to scramble through everything. One-stop shop for all the links you can think of. And yeah, check the description of the podcast for some of the links to the videos I mentioned today. And yeah, hit me up. If you got a question, comment, whatever, hit me up on Patreon, patreon.com/wanderingonestudios. It's free and I'll read your emails on the air, like this one that I received. Over my latest Patreon post. Now, some of you may recall that I said I'm going to be revamping my Twitch stream, and I've been doing some minor renovations here and there. And hopefully the full version will be done before the end of the month of March. It's just taken me a while, like I said, trying to translate my thoughts and ideas from brain to digital. So I'm going to be reworking my approach a little bit, I believe. Working more using the digital aspect of things to do effects in maybe animations or something like that, and focus more on my hand-drawn work being the centerpiece for the ideas that I have going forward for the studio and for the stream. But this is a comment that was dropped on that Patreon exclusive. Like I said, it's $3 a month to follow there. I'm thinking about expanding that tier to like maybe $5 if I can produce regular updates. But as for now, as of right now, it will stay at $3. Get all the bonus content that I'm put down over there. 2 more episodes are going to be coming this month, and they'll be Patreon exclusives as well. So you'll want to at least go and sign up for the free trial if you haven't already to give them a listen. This post is from a friend. They're not going to say their name, It says, the referencing the designs that I put up, these are absolutely phenomenal. I am so excited to see what the dojo looks like once the renovations are completed. Thank you so much, friend. I appreciate you. And I'm really excited too. Retooling the dojo is something that's been a very long time coming. The dojo is the name of my Twitch channel, by the way. And I think it's well overdue, for one. But I'm also very excited for what the future holds and the ideas that I have coming down the pipeline. So hopefully you guys will join me on this journey. And you'll get to see the bonus stuff over on Patreon. So pop on over there and say hello. Check out the link tree in the description. Check out the links for the videos I put down below in the description of the podcast. And I'm going to get out of here because I got to get a stream going here today, actually. So I'm going to author this one, send it out, and yeah, I'm going to get out of here. I love you guys. I appreciate you. Take care of yourselves. Remember, it's starting to get hotter out there. Drink water. Drink less alcohol. Stay in the shade. Wear sunscreen. Call your mom. Hug your family. And I'll catch you wanderers further down the road. Peace.